It's one of the biggest child welfare cases in the nation's history. 463 children removed from a polygamous compound in San Angelo, Texas. This week, the fate of these children hangs in the balance as five judges hold status hearings that address every child taken from the Texas compound of the Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The state alleges that the children were abused by exposure to polygamy and underage marriage, but lawyers for the children tell a different story. Polly Ray O'Toole is one of more than 350 lawyers who answered a call to provide pro bono representation for the children. She's a lawyer with Atkins O'Toole and Briner, a firm in Dallas. She joins me now on the line. Hi, Polly. Thanks for coming on.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So we got word from the state, from representatives at the Texas Child Protective Services Agency, saying that the goal of these hearings that have kicked off this week is to figure out how to get these kids back to their families. That is a dramatic change, right?
Well, CPS has not really made any definitive statements about what their goals are for these families until now. These are called the 60-day status hearings, and the purpose of these hearings is actually statutory, and they are to examine the children's placement, determine how the children are doing in these placements, and to, most importantly, review what are known as the service plans that CPS has set forth and filed with respect to each child.
What's a service plan?
A service plan is a written document that's filed with the court. It's supposed to be a roadmap for everyone involved with the case to reunification with the child and their parents.
And I understand there's also a parenting plan that's been put out there that's instructing these parents how to get their kids back.
The parenting plan and the service plan are synonymous.
Okay. So what are the criteria? What do parents have to prove in order to get their children back?
It's not clear, and that was one of the primary objections that we heard yesterday in the hearings that were being conducted. These 60-day hearings are being held over the next 3 weeks, and they're the first opportunity that anyone has to treat these children as individuals. So yesterday there were a group of cases heard, and one of the primary objections that the lawyers had was that the service plans were incredibly vague and did not provide enough information for the parents to know exactly what they had to do in order to get reunified with their children.
Now, we should say you're not representing parents, right? You are representing a child.
Yes, I'm an attorney ad litem for one of the children. The child that I represent is an 8-year-old little girl.
And what else can you tell us about her situation?
Well, we're not allowed to talk about the specifics, anything that's not already public record with respect to the child as an attorney ad litem. What I can say is that she's one of 8 children of the same parents. She is placed in outside of San Antonio, Texas, and her siblings have been placed all over the state in different foster homes. They are, the 8 siblings are in 5 different foster home locations. Hmm. So as you might imagine, it's very, very difficult for her parents. They get 1 hour a week with their children, and they have to drive all over the state.
They get 1 hour with each of them?
With each of them, and they have to drive all over the state from the stem to the stern of Texas to see their children. So in the meantime, they're also supposed to be following the requisites of this service plan. They're supposed to get independent living arrangements, get jobs. They're supposed to attend counseling and parenting classes. There's a whole laundry list of things that they're supposed to do while still driving all around the state thousands and thousands of miles every week so that they don't miss any visitation with their children. It's an impossible situation.
Now, as the state has said that they're trying to reunify these families, the question still remains, wasn't that why these kids were removed from this situation in the first place, that this was alleged to be an abusive situation, and now the state is saying we want to reunite kids with their parents? That seems to be slightly incongruous if that question still looms.
Well, I think that the CPS wants to reunite them with their parents after the parents receive services outlined in the service plan. They want to give them counseling. They want to educate these parents ostensibly about the evils of polygamy and, address the abuse issues that were occurring in this community before they reunite the children with their parents.
But
at least that's the idea. It doesn't seem to those of us that are representing these children that CPS has a very clear idea of how they're going to do that.
And I mean, this case is fraught with logistical challenges. Besides kind of the ambiguity that we've been hearing about now in the hearing process, can you describe some of the other logistical challenges for you in particular in representing your client?
Well, in the beginning of this case, once the children were removed, it's required by our laws here in Texas that each child have an attorney ad litem to be their voice in court. Well, when you remove over 460 children from their home all at once, that means that you need 460 lawyers that are willing to represent these children. A call went out across the state to family lawyers and lawyers from all different disciplines who were willing to take on the representation of a child. And I, along with lots of my other colleagues, answered that call, and we were appointed. I'm in Dallas. And that is many hours away from where the case is being litigated in San Angelo, Texas. And so logistically, when I have my 60-day hearing for the child that I represent, I'll have to travel down to San Angelo for the hearing. We're not remunerated in any way. So all of the expenses that I incur and all of the time that I am giving to this case is completely pro bono, and that's the same for every single attorney ad litem for every single child. There are attorneys that are in San Antonio, for example, that are representing children that are placed in Fort Worth and the litigation is in San Angelo, hundreds and hundreds of miles. The child that I represent is in San Antonio. I'm in Dallas. So I had to travel to Dallas to see her in her placement. That's one of the duties that I have as an ad litem, is to check on her in her foster care placement and then travel to San Angelo for any hearings that involve her.
As the cases are heard this week, Polly, what argument will you put forth to the judge?
Well, I have filed a motion and set it for hearing on the same day as the 60-day status hearing, a motion for amended temporary orders. And I'm actually asking that the child that I represent be returned to her mother's care immediately. And the ad litems for six of her siblings are joining me in that motion.
Well, this is a story we will clearly be revisiting in the weeks to come. Polly Ray O'Toole is one of the more than 350 lawyers who is representing clients pro bono, the kids who were removed from that polygamous compound in Texas. Polly, thanks very much for being with us. We appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Next on the show, Bill O'Reilly, Keith Olbermann. Why can't they just get along? Because it would be ratings death if they did. NPR's David Folkenflik is here to break down the latest cable news shenanigans. Technical term. This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.